Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, it's Friday afternoon. It is indeed Friday afternoon. And we are going to a segment we like to call JP on Sports. In case you did not know, JP has his own podcast, comes out weekly called Out of Right Field, in which he talks about conservative policy with the backdrop of sports, and he does a great job at it. He's also like a savant on sports. So we do this thing called JP on Sports on Fridays, two segments. The first is called The Three and Out, top three stories he believes are out there in the world of sports, followed by the two-minute warnings. We're 2 minutes on each given topic with a timer and a buzzer, and we just see how he does. So let me just jump right on. By the way, I will also say, too, that JP on Sports is now sponsored for you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. I'll tell you more about them here in a few minutes, but they are the sponsor weekly of JP on Sports. All right, buddy. Three and out. What do you got? Number one.
Are you going to forget the...
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. Let's step back here a second, because I'm going to go ahead and consume some of your time. JP has his own sound effect, courtesy of a group of sorority girls from Auburn. So hit it.
JP on Sports!
Nice.
I mean, if the sorority girls are going to do the sound effect, we got to give them the courtesy of playing it.
Said the young guy who loves the fact that sorority girls did a sound effect. Take it away, buddy.
So we got the NBA playoffs just started. We have the play-in series is going on right now. We actually got Hawks Heat tonight, and we also have the Grizzlies playing tonight. So Grizzlies Mavericks, so both teams in our listening area somewhat. But, you know, I hate to be a downer or a hater per se, but I don't know. I feel like this is one of the least buzz, like I feel the least amount of buzz around these NBA playoffs that I have in a long time. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the NBA is going downhill because, I mean, you look and the stars are barely playing at all. The product, it seems like the players don't even care about the product at all anymore. I don't know. I was a kid. I grew up and the NBA playoffs were always must watch. I mean, from the Heat-Spurs rivalry with LeBron when he was on the Heat, and then you have the Cavs-Warriors rivalries in the 2010s. I just don't feel that same. This is not must-watch TV anymore. I don't know. It's I'll be honest with you, with somebody who consumes sports as much as I do, I completely even forgot that the NBA playoffs were right now. You know, it's just, it's crazy to me. And ESPN is dumping all of these other leagues like MLB and UFC. Their ESPN contract just ended. They're probably not going to go back there. And ESPN's going like all chips in on the NBA, where I don't know. I just feel like the product is not as good like it used to be. So I don't know. I hate to be a downer on that, but it's like, I don't know. The playoffs just don't have the same feel anymore.
I can't let you get away from this topic then without asking you, why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, the NBA guys are the most paid athletes out of everybody. And I mean, MLB is getting up there. We have the top heavy like Shohei Ohtani in the MLB, but on a, you know, a wide scale, NBA, those guys make the most out of everybody. I feel like a lot of them are starting to get entitled. They're having to start to put in, you know, rules to where guys can't, quote, load manage. I'm like, my ankle feels kind of, I think I'm just going to be out like a week or two. And it's,
oh, wow.
A lot of that's just happening. I mean, you turn the TV on and there's a good chance the star of that team is not playing just because they don't feel like it. And I don't know. It's that, and the product isn't just as good. It's becoming more lazy. If you look at the product of the game itself, they used to have really a great song to lead into the playoffs. The court would always be specially decorated. It's like they actually cared about the playoffs. Now you turn on, it's like, yep, NBA playoffs brought to you by YouTube TV. And it's just like written. I don't feel the same passion and the same product. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same feel around it.
Do you think we'll ever see a day again for the NBA when it's like a Jordan, Pippen, you know, the Bulls kind of team, or the Lakers with their Magic and all of them playing like as a team and like just wowing everybody with their team prowess and the drive that comes from watching the whole team?
I mean, don't get me wrong. The players, I mean, the game itself, the players are better skill-wise than they have ever been.
You think?
However, yeah, but the thing is, those guys you mentioned, Jordan, Kobe, they by God, they're going to be carried off the court 10 toes up if it came down to it. Like, they cared, and they would go to the bitter end to win. Yeah. Where you got Jokic and Luka Doncic, who are two of the best players in the world, and outside of basketball, they drink, they're fat. Jokic, after he won the NBA playoffs, was like, yeah, I'm just kind of ready to go home. And it's like, you don't really feel the same care about the game, let's put it that way. So right. If those teams are going to come back, we're going to have players, you know, actually be invested and care about winning. So,
all right, that's one. What's two?
WrestleMania 41 is this weekend.
WrestleMania 41. You went yes. NBA playoffs for WrestleMania 41.
WrestleMania 41. But there's a reason I said that. This is a big WrestleMania. So John Cena is having his last match this WrestleMania.
John Cena,
his last match ever. He's retiring, and
so he says.
Yeah, well, I think it's legit. I don't know. It's so I was a kid. I was John Cena for Halloween growing up. I was a John Cena kid. I made my own John Cena shirt and everything. So I was somebody who very much loved John Cena. John Cena, his whole career, you know, the term heel, the bad guy. John Cena was always the good guy. He was the generational good guy, they say, or quote, babyface. And for his last match ever, they decided to turn him into a bad guy. So now, for the first time in John Cena's career, his last match ever, he's turned heel. And so now that is, it's caught the wrestling world by storm. And it's, the clip of him, quote, turning heel is, I think, their most viral video ever. So he's going up against Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship, which, by the way, John Cena is tied for the most ever title wins with Ric Flair at 16. If he wins this one for his last match ever, he will then be the sole record holder, passing Ric Flair for the record for most titles held. So it's a pretty, I'd say it's a pretty.
You watching?
Well, the problem is it's Easter Sunday, and this is when they're doing it, so it's kind of hard to watch. I'm sure I'll catch the replay of it, but part of me, man, part of me wants to watch it, though, because the kid in me has to watch John Cena's last match ever. I mean, come on, you know? So.
All right, that's one and two. You went from NBA playoffs to WWE SmackDown. What do you got next?
All right, so this has been a big story that we've been following. It's kind of the area of politics and sports merge. So Pam Bondi announced they will be suing the state of Maine for refusing to comply with the executive order to keep men out of women's sports.
Yep.
If y'all remember, Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, that had the public spat with Trump where he said, or she said, you know, we'll see you in court over this exact matter. And Trump, you know, said, oh, yeah, and that'll be an easy one. So it looks like they're going to court over, and Maine was the Maine state, no pun intended, that did not comply with Trump's order. So we'll see. I don't know. I feel like this is one that the Trump administration should win pretty handedly. But this is a big one, I think. I think this is a big lawsuit, because if the Trump administration does win, then that sets a precedent for these all the other states, the Californias, the Colorados, the Washingtons. It's like, that sets a precedent of, like, now you guys have to get in order. And, you know, and like I said, Maine has been the main one that's fought it. Although, you know, states like California, and then we're still seeing high school athletes, the high school girls that are losing to guys in state track meets, and, you know, stuff like that. So it's very much still happening, very much still prominent. So I think this is important to have this lawsuit, so that in the long term, that precedent can be set of, this is, you don't have an option. Like, you have to comply with federal law on this. So I'm looking forward to see the Trump administration win that case, because it's nonsense. And I'm tired. Now that we have the Protection of Women and Girls Sports Act not get passed the Senate and that gets signed into law, this becomes ever more important, you know, to set that precedent. So.
Yeah, that's huge. And I saw the press conference. Pam Bondi was joined at the press conference by Riley Gaines and by Laurel Libby, the Maine state representative who was on our show right when all that hit. And I believe Laurel Libby has her own lawsuit against her own state right now because they have denied her the ability to even vote or speak on the House floor as an elected representative because she dared to call out transgenders in sports. They demanded an open apology or she won't be allowed. She's been censured and not allowed to vote or speak on behalf of her constituents. And I hope they get smacked down for that one, too. Like, hard.
Yeah.
Like, real hard.
I expect they will. And they have it coming.
They do have it coming. Yeah. They deserve everything they get out of it. And but we also need this for a nationwide view of what Title IX really means.
Yep, I agree.
All right, brother, that is the first round. That's three and out. You did good. That was perfect timing. So hitting the break right now, coming right back, we'll do JP on Sports with round number two. That's where the two-minute warning takes place. 2 minutes each topic, a timer, a buzzer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back for round number two of JP on Sports. We call this one the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. 2 minutes on anything sports-related. Ready? Go.
So I talked about this last week. I did my out of right field on this as well. But the first ever NIL holdout from Nico Imaleava at Tennessee took place.
That bugged me.
Yeah. And so he held out from practice, didn't show up to practice amid NIL negotiations. And everybody's looking at how Tennessee was going to respond. And Tennessee pretty much didn't budge and said, fine, see ya. And then he went out and tested the markets to see where he could go to get the money, quote, he deserved. And the market did not respond to him very favorably. And I think this sets a tone, though, of the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, I think the players assume, well, if you don't pay me, somebody will. Well, Nico ended up going to UCLA, going back home, and he signed for $1.5 million, which is less than Tennessee was paying him in the first place. But then you take into account state income tax from California, and he's making like $800,000. So not only is he getting less money than Tennessee was paying in the first place, he's going to the most taxed state in America and getting even less than that. So the bottom line is the grass was not greener. Nico ended up in a worse position money-wise, and this was a complete whiff by him and his team, I believe. So I think Tennessee, good on them for sticking to what they believe and standing strong. And like I said, ultimately, I think Tennessee won in this scenario, I would say.
I think college sports won.
Yes.
And I think, too, you mentioned he and his team. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was he put his negotiation team over his actual team.
And his dad.
And his dad.
Yes.
I think the whole family was glomming onto some money here.
Yeah.
It was a sick situation.
Yep, I agree.
So he went to who?
UCLA. So he's going to phrase this as, I'm going back home, where that may be true, but you're going back home with even less money in the first place. So, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, no doubt. Plus,
on a worse team, too, by the way.
And there it is. All right, that's the buzzer. Hit the timer. Go again.
So Lee Corso has announced his retirement from College Game Day. The iconic Lee Corso from – he had his headgear, his iconic headgear thing that took fire. And, I mean, that was his shtick. You know, he picked his team that he was at that day when wearing the mascot's headgear and all. But, I mean – I do think it's time. It was kind of sad to see him. He obviously, it's evident he loved what he did, but just the bottom line was he was reaching his time to hang it up. He didn't have the same wit and the same, you know, humor as he did. And I know it was hard on him to keep traveling like he was at his age to all the places around the nation. So I do think it was time. I have to say, though, they got to retire the headgear segment with him. You can't have anybody else do the headgear pick on College Game Day without Lee Corso there. And I know one thing, Saban is not going to be the guy to do that. Saban is not going to be the guy to put on the headgear. You know, McAfee, I bet, probably would if they wanted him to, but you got to retire that too. You got to send that with Lee Corso. So bottom line is, I do also think, I mentioned this to you in the break, that may be part of the reason they had Saban come on this last year to be kind of the test run for Lee Corso's replacement. Yeah. He's not going to be the same guy, but the older coach, I think he will fill that role that Lee Corso had on the show. So I think that timing set up, I think they knew Lee Corso's time was coming to an end. That's kind of why they brought Saban on to fill that role. So
they're going to do like the opening of the season, and then he's going to retire after one game.
So the opening game of the year will be his last show to have a proper send-off for Lee Corso.
Wow. That's the end of an era.
It is an end of an era. I mean, it was almost 20 years or a little more than that, maybe. Yeah. He's been on the show. I think this is like 18th year he's done it. So, yeah, definitely an end of an era for sure.
Who's next in line? Terry Bradshaw or somebody's going to be retiring from sports commentating? I don't know what's going to happen.
Probably. I would say, yeah.
Of course, he's probably about due, too.
He is about due, yes.
That's it. There you go. All right. Reset the clock. You got a little bit of time left. Take it.
Jake Paul has another boxing fight. If y'all remember, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson just had a, if you want to call it a fight, it was more of just a dance in the ring. Yep. It wasn't much of a fight. But Jake Paul has a new opponent. It is also another former world champion boxer who is very much older than Jake Paul. He will be fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Really?
So obviously the son of the former boxer Julio Cesar Chavez, but Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is a former world champion who has been retired for quite some time. And this does not help the narrative from Jake Paul doubters that the one guy Jake Paul fought his age, he lost to. So he looks like he's continuing to pick on the older guys, bringing them out of their retirement home for money and a money grab. This is another example of that. This will be a cruiserweight bout. This will be on June 28th. I'm tired of seeing these. Listen, I get it. These older guys who are world champions, they see this as a great money opportunity, which props to you for that. I'm just tired of them giving in to Jake and agreeing to these, because now he adds the name to the list of, I beat Mike Tyson. I beat Julio Cesar Chavez. And it's like, well, yeah, you beat them, what, 20 years after their prime? You know, what's the big deal? I do think Jake Paul, unfortunately, is going to win this one too, because he's just so much younger and on steroids for that matter. So
you're saying no go. You're not a huge fan.
I'm not a huge fan of this. I mean, it's expected from Jake Paul, but I wish Cesar Chavez would have just said pound sand. But unfortunately, he did not. So we'll be seeing that later this summer. And I look forward to the day that Jake Paul actually fights somebody his age again, and you know, gets checked and he gets reality checked again. Not a big Jake Paul fan, if you could tell.
So at what point does in fact, there's the timer. I gotta hit it, but. At what point does the World Boxing Federations, when do they step in and go, all right, enough of this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The commission, boxing commissions, wherever these are held, continue to approve these fights. I wouldn't have approved Mike Tyson to get in the ring with Jake Paul. I don't know how he got approved by commission to do that. So as long as the commissions keep approving it, it's just going to keep happening. So unfortunately.
I heard Muhammad Ali is being resurrected to come back and fight Jake Paul.
Yeah, it would not surprise me.
The memes are writing themselves right now. Yeah, Chuck Norris wants to go.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Jake Paul would get checked by him.
just don't mess with the myth,
no,
Chuck Norris.
Do not mess with Chuck Norris.
All right, how much time we got left?
Here comes the music.
Right, oh, there it is. That's JP on sports, man. That went by fast. All right, listen, we're coming up next. We're going to take you into the final go-home half hour of Right Side Radio on a good, good Friday afternoon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.